Welcome to the Purpose and Profit Club podcast for nonprofit leaders, mission-driven creatives, and social entrepreneurs. Get ready to stop dreaming and start doing. Here, ideas become action. We prioritize purpose and profit. You ready? Let's go. Recently, I hosted a three-day challenge called the Profitable Partnerships Challenge, and it was pretty epic. It's the first time that I've hosted anything like this before, and what we're doing today is we're pulling out some of like the juiciest parts of the three-day challenge for you and a highlight for the podcast. This is for you if you want to land more donors, funders, partners, influencers, or ambassadors for your nonprofit. It's where the inner work meets the outer work, the profit, the revenue generating action. Okay. So if you want to actually listen to and watch the full 3-day challenge, go to splendidcourses.com/waitlist. And I will send you a note the next time we open up the free challenge again. But in the meantime, enjoy this motivation boost and go take some action. Let's see. So I want to build confidence in the outreach, cold and warm. Yep. And specifically in asking for people to invest. My follow-up has been scarce and my asking is very awkward and non-existent. Okay. I'm so glad you shared that. So you said, I want to build confidence in the outreach. Here's what I'm going to say. You only need the skill of courage. You only need to lean on the skill of courage, not confidence. Confidence comes after doing something a lot, right? A lot. Riding a bike. The first, I don't know, dozen times, it's not a confident feeling going into those things. I can tell you the first time I hosted a Zoom webinar, not confident. The 100th time I did it, it's fine. I'm confident, right? So what did I have to lean on? I did not wait for feeling confident in it. I had to lean on courage. I had to just be like, you know what? This may be a little sticky. This may feel very nervous, and that's okay. I'm going to try this. I might fall off this bike and that's okay. I have a soft place to land. I'm going to bike over on the grass, right? So you want to think about that. Okay. You want to think about how can I instead lean on courage and the confidence will come. Yeah. The other thing that you said is my follow-up has been scarce. My asking is very awkward and non-existent. Okay. There is not one way to ask. Okay. So when you say my asking has been awkward, there's a little bit of judgment there, which is like I'm supposed to sound better, faster, different than I sound in my asking. Instead of this is how our cause grows. This is it. All I have to do is talk about our organization. All I have to do is ask. I can let it be awkward, okay? Or I can let it be imperfect. Imperfect will make you a lot of money. Imperfect will get you a lot of donors, okay? When we're waiting for it to be confident and perfect and not even perfect or just like better, more advanced, you never give yourself the space to actually get better at it. You with me? Give me a one in the chat if that makes sense. Okay. We'll go through this more. Okay. All right. Some other ones. I tend to put off prospecting and outreach, let it fall to the bottom of my list. 100%. Why? Because it's the most daring piece. It's the place where you actually can get rejected. It's very hard to get rejected when you're writing a blog post. It's hard. Right? It's very hard to get rejected when you're rereading the draft of the email you haven't sent, okay? I know all of this because I'm my first best customer guinea pig, right? I know what it's like to stay in like draft mode, just get into perfectionist and to avoid outreach, okay? When you realize why you're doing what you're doing, it makes it easier to get over the hump and take the action, okay? Let's see here. Cold email, I need to do more. Warm, I'm not good at this. Follow up, not good either. Okay, so what would make you good or better at following up with people and with your warm prospects? The act of doing it. That's it. It's just practice. I really want to offer, there's not one way to do it because don't forget, there are certain people that prefer bottom line me in a meeting. Just tell me what you want. There are certain people that want more of a long cultivation and they wanted more relationship building. And when you let yourself just be how you are, ask great questions, go into the meeting and give yourself the space and the freedom for it to like flow, it's easier. So there's a story I want to tell, but I'll wait and we'll keep going. Okay. Awesome. All right. I like a confession. I also tend to have a great initial meeting and then just not follow up and lose momentum and interest from the sponsor or donor. Yes, so normal. So what happened? You had a great initial meeting. It felt great. And that high, you know, that high that comes from the great meeting where you're like, they get it. They're with me. Totally. That high went away. And then you were like, I guess they would have donated if they wanted to. I guess they would have followed up if they really wanted to get involved. Like, you come up with all of these reasons why they didn't. And so you don't. And that cycle continues. So we'll get into that. So I know what cold calling feels like. And I know what it feels like when it feels awful. I know what it feels like to get hung up on. When you can get in the zone of service and it's not for me, it makes it much easier. When you can just, like, for example, in both of those cases, I want to help sell your house. We both have a shared intention in me calling you. And if there are no, I just kept going. I had a list, right? I didn't make it mean anything, okay? Now I wrote my little post-it note here to remind me this. One of the best groups of people that handle failure are children. If you have a child or know a child who's under the age of like 10, give me a 1 in the chat. We all know a child under the age of 10. Children handle their feelings really, really well. And I think it's because they haven't yet been socialized to like compartmentalize and gulp it down and carry everything so tightly. So for example, my child is almost 9 and he's really into baseball. So he's in Little League. And he has a team. He's been on several teams that are total underdogs. And it's hard, right? So they lose a lot. And this has happened a couple of seasons. His first season, he was on one of those just winning teams. And it was really interesting because then since then, he's just been on 3, air quotes, losing teams. And game after game, I'm watching what's going on. And some games, they just get hosed. Like, it's just, it's a loss, right? And without fail, do you know who's most upset about the losses? Does anyone want to guess in the chat? Like, this happens every single game we lose. Who's the most upset about the, That's right. The parents. They are pissed. Including my husband. He gets very riled up about it. They're like, we should have done this. We should have done that. Why didn't we do this? Why did they change? Right? We're in our heads. And I look at my son and I'm like, hey, great game. And he goes, yeah. And this is a kid who profoundly loves baseball. This is his chosen sport. He loves it. And he goes, yeah. He doesn't carry that loss hard. Now, that's interesting to me. He's just doing something that he loves. And sometimes he wins and sometimes he loses. And I also want to share a more extreme example. There are kids on his team who are more emotional about it. And when they lose, I watch them. They burst into tears. They go into the dugout. Somebody pats them on the back. And about 4 seconds later, they go get a snack and they're fine. That's the trick. Even the kids who have the big emotion or the big heaviness of like, I wanted to win, they feel the feeling and they move through it. They move through it. That's really, really important, okay? Because that's what allows you to keep going and not feel burnt out in this profession. It is very easy to feel burnt out cold calling when you take every no so heavy and you make it mean something about you. Watch this kid just 2 days ago. He went in, he burst into tears in the dugout. He got a tap on the shoulder. He cried for a second and then he forgot about it. It's gone. It was done. It was over. He went through it. Okay. If that's resonant with you, give me a yes in the chat. Okay. Yes. All right. So we're going to do an experiment, the $10,000 experiment. Okay. If you had to create $10,000 today for your organization, and if you didn't, or this week, we'll say this week, if that's easier, $10,000 this week for your organization, otherwise you would lose your nonprofit status, your 501c3 status, what would you do? And just start ideating in the chat. Just tell me everything you would do, anything that comes to mind. There's no wrong answers. Who would you call? And don't say, I don't know, just anything. How would you make the $10,000, everyone? I'd call everyone, yeah. Everyone, how would you feel if you had to call everyone? Sending emails, posting to our social media accounts. How would you feel having to, that's like all hands on deck, right? We got to make it or break it. It's go time. Everyone, I would feel desperate, okay? Reaching out to my network. What else would you do? Who would you call? Let our board know we have a good relationship. And I know she would call have a couple people to call. Yeah. So friends of friends, working your network. Yeah. How would that feel to have to do that? To choose to do that? See, I'm catching myself. That would be a choice. How would it feel to choose to do that? Heavy. Why would it feel heavy, Megan? Tell us in the chat. Why would it feel heavy? And anyone else can share. How would they feel? And I want to offer, if this number is too big, make it $1,000. If it's too small, if you're a larger organization, make it $100,000. Okay. Working the network feels scary, stressful. Yeah. Okay. Next question. Would it be worth it? If you did it, would it be worth it? Would it be worth it to feel stressed or heavy or overwhelmed or what were some of the other? Desperate. Would it be worth it? Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Well, you guys all say like, of course it would be worth it. So that's interesting. So maybe the link here is how do I get comfortable with it feeling a little heavy, a little stressful? Or maybe how do I prove to myself that it's not desperate, it's not heavy, and it's not stressful? So there's a couple ways you can go about doing it. Okay. I do this thought experiment on purpose because many organizations, if not all of them, come to me and they say, we need more funding, right? That's why you're here. We need more funding, okay? There is funding sitting in your current network. None of you said, I would go out on the main road closest to town and say, stop, we need $10,000. Like none of you would go to cold traffic. You would work your network. You would work your database. You would work your friends of friends, your board members, right? And you'd go, come on, people. Okay. But that exists. This exists. This $10,000 or more exists for your organization today. But the reason why you're not doing it is because it feels really uncomfortable. Okay. So my offer to you is, twofold. One, maybe it is a little uncomfortable. So let's just get cozy and comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's part of the deal. You probably are uncomfortable in something else you do in your life and you do it anyway, right? My favorite example of this is I hate going to the dentist. I hate it. I hate it. I laughed because I got a mailer yesterday and it was like, scan to learn about our anxiety solutions at the dentist. And I was like, that's me. So what do? I go every 6 months. I don't like going and I go every 6 months because what I don't like more is getting fillings, right? So I'm like, all right, whatever it takes to make me go there less, right? I am comfortable with being uncomfortable. Everybody there knows that I'm stressed out there, right? I've done what I can to find a hygienist she's like a human Xanax. She's great. She's so calm. She's so affirming. She's so warm. That's the best I've got. I go, my dentist is really nice. I like him, right? And I still hate going and that's okay. So it's like, where are some other places? And you can type in the chat of like, what are some other places, spaces, things you do in your life that you're kind of uncomfortable with, but you still do them, right? I think doctors are one of those things for sure. But there's lots of things. If you've ever joined a community group and had to speak on stage or things like that, it's like, yeah, oh my gosh, mammograms, yes. Have we collectively decided that that machine was invented by a man? Because it must have been. All right, day three, commitment and lasting impact. All right, I'm gonna try to bring this a little bit closer, but I'll just go over it a little bit as well. So this is that think, feel, do cycle that we already went over before. So depending on how you're thinking or feeling or doing, you're gonna have either a positive or a negative outcome. One thing that I wanted to highlight with this is sometimes I don't think our brain has a thought and then we have a feeling and then we take an action. Sometimes I think we have a feeling and then the cycle starts here. And so a perfect example of that is if you're ever home alone and you're watching a movie and you hear a rustle at the door or what you think is a rustle at the door, your brain isn't like there's an intruder. At least mine isn't. Mine is it's in my body first. And what's that? You know, and I'm looking to see, is anyone at the door, right? So my body is feeling a feeling first. It kind of goes upstream to my brain and my brain is like, somebody's at the door, right? So that's an example of that cycle. And I just want to offer that because I think as it pertains to fundraising, we kind of feel the feeling first, that heavy, heart beating, sweaty kind of tightness. That's all in the feeling. That's in the body. And sometimes we kind of have to go back and go, okay, what are the thoughts that I'm thinking? What are the beliefs that I have? What is that internal little monologue? Everyone has an internal monologue, whether or not you're kind of aware of it or not, it's there. And then you can go, okay, and then how am I acting? Okay, I'm jumping out of my skin and turns out the wind blew. There was nothing there, right? Oh, okay. And then we're calming our nervous system down by literally talking through that, okay? Hey, High Achiever, I know your sights are set on ambitious, world-changing goals. In the Purpose and Profit Club group coaching program, you can get the support, motivation, and strategy to accelerate your impact. I like to say it's where the inner work meets big impact and big funding. Go to splendidcourses.com/waitlist and you will be first to be notified when we open up doors, and you'll get special bonuses when you join our waitlist. See you inside. Think you've reached out to everyone in your network? Are you out of ideas to get noticed and get funded? I hear you. That's why I'm giving you a chance to steal my prospect list. Yes, you can generate leads for your nonprofit or impact-driven business. Grab my mini training and list delivered to your inbox instantly. Go to splendidcourses.com/prospect.